Thank you for that prayer. And just please continue to pray this morning that God would be glorified. I appreciate that good fervent prayer. And Brother Donnie, in his prayer, and I don't think it was by accident, mentioned our propensity to forget the things of God. This morning, I want us to look at Joshua chapter 4, and I want us to look at the subject of memorials this morning. And I guess if you want to title the message this morning, we can title it Memorials to the Lord. And human nature being the way it is, oftentimes we forget the things that we should remember, and if you're like me, you remember the things that you should forget. And the older I get, the more I recognize our propensity to forget things. At some point over the last several years, there, you know, as I guess age has taken its toll, and I think sometimes your brain just maybe gets full or something, and it astonishes me how we can be so forgetful about things. You can tell me one thing today, and if I'm not careful or don't write it down, I could forget about it tomorrow. But it's not always been that way. I remember when Sister Sarah and I had first gotten married. We got married and had moved to Crestview, and we'd been married maybe a year or 2 years, and it was coming around the time of our anniversary, and we had a radio broadcast for the church when I was in Crestview, and the radio station would have, twice a year, they'd have this time where they would raise money to keep the radio station going and so forth, and they would have people come in live, and I was going to impress my wife and wish her a happy anniversary. And as we were going through the process, I said, I just want to wish my wife a happy anniversary. Our anniversary is on December the 20th, and want to wish her a happy anniversary. The only problem is that my anniversary is not December 20th, and wives have a way of being way more conscientious of those things than husbands are. My actual anniversary is December the 19th, so everybody got a kick out of that, and everybody had to hear about that, and we forget things. And then one day, a couple years later, she engraved the date inside my wedding ring, so if I ever forget, I can just pull my wedding ring off and know the actual anniversary date, and I think I've not forgotten that date since then, but we forget the things that we should remember. We remember the things that we should forget. Some of the silly things that I can remember that happened in my life, sometimes it's embarrassing. We had an icebreaker at something that I was at several months ago, and they asked if you could start your own podcast, what would the podcast be? Well, my podcast would be Unmarketable Talents and Useless Knowledge, because it seems that my brain is full of useless things, and I've got a lot of unmarketable talents that are of no use to anyone as well. But we forget the things that we should remember, and we remember the things that we should forget. And as God's people, we have over and over and over again in Scripture the reminder that as the Lord's people, we're prone to forget those things that we should remember about Him. And I'm thankful, though, that the Lord, in His mercy, He gives us memorials to remind us about Him. We're prone to forget in the flesh the mercies of God and the blessings of God, but I'm thankful that God, in His mercy, gives us memorials and reminders that He is the one who has delivered us. He is the one that has saved us. Now, the responsibility for us as God's people is to see the waypoints, to see the memorials, and remember what the Lord has done for us. But Joshua chapter 4 is about memorials. We forget ourselves as God's people, and it's not anything that's new to us today. It's not new to our culture. It's not something that just comes with age. It's a condition that comes with being a part of fallen humanity. I remember the psalmist David in Psalm 73, he writes about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord and his own foolishness. In verse 21, he says, "So foolish was I and ignorant," he says, "I was as a beast before thee." What he was saying there is that, I was like an animal and had forgotten myself. I'd forgotten who you are. But he speaks about the mercies of God. As the Lord's people, we have to be careful not to forget the things of God. not to forget God. Because when we forget the mercies of God, when we forget the blessings of God, and we forget the things that God has done for us, oftentimes it will cause other issues in our lives. That's why it's critical that we've got to recognize the memorials that God has given us, constantly reminding ourselves of who the Lord is. One of my favorite songs by Isaac Watts speaks of that. Thus far the Lord has led me on. Thus far his power has prolonged my days, and every evening shall make known some fresh memorials of his grace. The songwriter and poet there reminds us that God has given us many things to refocus us on him, to remind us of what he has done for us. And as the Lord's people, we need to be on the lookout for them and recognize them in our lives. In Joshua chapter 4, we have two memorials that were built, two memorials that were set up to remind God's people of his blessings. And that's what Joshua chapter 4 is all about. They have gone across the Jordan River. They had gone into the promised land, and before the waters go back to where they were given some instruction to take some stones out of the middle of the Jordan and set a memorial on the other side of Jordan. And then it says that Joshua put a memorial in the midst of Jordan, one that people could see, and then that one that was in the middle of the river. So I want us to look at Joshua chapter 4, and I want us to see this idea of memorials, and I want us to think about memorials that God has given us today. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, it says, "It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night." Verse 4, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every man a tribe. Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel." Notice verse 6, it says, "That this may be a sign among you, and when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." So God commissions Joshua to set up this memorial as they got to the other side of Jordan. These 12 stones that weren't small stones, they were stones they got out of the middle of the river, and 12 men carried these stones up on the other side and set them up. They erected this monument here that was to be a reminder. It was to be a reminder to Israel, and it was also to be a teaching memorial to their children, as we've read here. A reminder that it was the Lord who had delivered them, the Lord who had blessed this great miracle that had allowed them to go into the promised land. It was a reminder. It was to remind them who they were. They were God's people. And probably more importantly, it was a reminder of who God was, the one who had blessed them and the one that had delivered them. And the people obey. they hear the Lord, and they do this. We read on verses 8 and 9, "Children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. They took up the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, and it says that they carried them over with them into the place that they lodged, and they laid them down there." Now, when they came across Jordan, they lodged in a place that was called Gilgal. And this would be sort of the base camp as they were going, and as the Lord led and overtaking the nations around them, this was the place where they camped. And in the book of Joshua here, we see it in verse 9, at the end of verse 9, it says that the stones are there unto this day. So this tells us that this monument was there for a long period of time. But it's interesting that we read in here as well, at the beginning of verse 9, Joshua put a memorial in the midst of Jordan. You had one that people could see, and then one that people couldn't see. And that's always been interesting to me. I believe that God gives us visual memorials, but we're going to see, I hope, as we go on, that God has placed a memorial within us as well that reminds us of who He is. And I believe that to be the Spirit of God. Verse 10, it says, "For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, the people hasted and passed over." And it says, "When it came to pass, the people were clean passed over, the ark of the Lord passed over in the priests and the presence of the people." And it says, "The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spoke unto them, and 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord into battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day," it says, "the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." Now, this is foreshadowing as what was about to happen. As I mentioned last time we looked at the book of Joshua, they were going to cross to the Jordan River, and there were going to be battles to fight as they entered into the Promised Land. It wasn't going to be just an easy route and moving in, and there being no labors, no works, no efforts on their part. There was going to be wars to be fought. And some 40,000, they go before and they're prepared for war. They needed this reminder that God was with them. I don't know about you, but every day in my life there is some sort of struggle, some sort of battle to fight, some sort of challenge, some sort of difficulty that confronts us. I'm thankful that the Lord gives us reminders in the midst of our battles that He is with us. He is the one that delivered us. And what an encouragement it must have been for these people who were not a military nation by any stretch of the imagination. I can imagine this ragtag group of men that were coming across armed for battle. They didn't have the latest and greatest battle technology and swords and armor and shields that many of their enemies would have. But they had the Lord with them. And I can see them just passing by this memorial and getting encouragement from that the Lord who caused this seed apart, the one who has delivered us, He's the one that's going to go before us and fight our battle. That had to be an encouragement. Verse 19, it says, "People came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho." And again, we haven't mentioned those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, "When your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan dry land." Notice this part. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over." And then it says, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now we notice here, this was a memorial to those that had crossed the Jordan River. It was to be a memorial to their children and to their grandchildren, but it was also to be a sign for the rest of the world here that it was the hand of the Lord that delivered Israel. You know, what a memorial this was. And as we noted, the word of God's deliverance of Israel and God blessing them had gotten to Jericho already. So this memorial stood to all of those people in that area as well of God's mercy for His people. You know, I want to be a memorial and a testimony of God's mercy to everyone that I come into contact with. And I can imagine people going to that memorial site. It's like people that go to natural memorials today. Some people, it stirs up a remembrance of pride. And for other people, it stirs up angst. It stirs up bad feelings. And whatever the feelings were, it was a reminder that God, He was the Lord over all. He commands them to build this here, a reminder to Israel. It was a testimony to the rest of the watching world. So we have a memorial for edification, and perhaps it was a memorial that was evangelistic as well. You know, I can see some folks that perhaps were seeking the Lord, and they come to this place, and it's a reminder to them that this indeed was a miracle that was not done by some false god or something that was orchestrated by man, but this was a all-powerful, almighty God. It was to encourage God's people, and it was a testimony unto the Lord. We, as God's people today, I am thankful that as well, He gives us memorials of His grace. As the hymn writer said, every evening shall make known a fresh memorial of His grace. He gives us that as His people today. We need reminders. So when you think of memorial, just think of a reminder, because we forget. As your pastor, as a minister of the gospel, as someone who's tried to follow the Lord for many, many, many years now, I need a reminder. I forget. And you do too. But I'm thankful that the Lord blesses us. There is a danger in forgetting, but God in His grace, God in His blessings, gives us remembrance. He does. What a wonderful blessing. But we need to be careful not to forget. I want you to understand this. When we forget the blessings of God, it corrupts our faith and our service to the Lord. That's why there are so many reminders in God's Word. I always think about Deuteronomy chapter 4. You have God giving His law to His people. This is on the hills of God blessing Moses and giving Moses the commandments, giving Moses the law. And all of this was given out to the people of God. And at the very beginning of all of that happening, by the inspiration of God, Moses tells them not to forget these things. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, Moses says this. He says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Here, these were people who had firsthand witnessing of God's mercies, of God's deliverance, and the warning and reminder to them was, don't forget. Take heed to yourself. That means know yourself, know your propensity to forget the things of God, and keep your soul diligently so you don't forget the things that you've seen. Oh, my friends, I'm guilty of that in so many areas of my life. I've seen the blessing of God in areas of my life, and something else come along, and in my mind, in my flesh, I react in such a way where it just seems like I've completely forgotten that God has delivered me from greater things and bigger things than that. And He says to Israel here, take heed to yourself and don't forget the things that you've seen. And also, teach your children and teach your grandchildren. You know, we live in a culture today where in many areas of the culture we live in, people will try to tell us, you have no right to indoctrinate your children. You have no place to tell your kids what's right or what's wrong. You know, they have to formulate that for themselves. Well, I tell you, that's what's wrong with the world today. When everybody does that which is right in their own eyes, that's when things become chaotic and messed up. Here, the Lord says to God's people through the pen of Moses, you don't let these things, these truths depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. The first warning that He gives them is not to forget. Why? Because it doesn't take us long to forget. Something's going to come up, maybe when we get home this afternoon or when Monday morning smacks us in the face, and something's going to make us forget. We have to keep it in our minds. And that's what Moses is writing here by the inspiration of, keep it in your minds. Because here's what happens. When we don't keep things in our minds, it has a propensity to escape our hearts. We don't remember the things of God. We need reminding. Forgetfulness as God's people, it makes us ineffective in our discipleship and service to God, and it makes us unfruitful. Peter noted this in 2 Peter chapter 1 when he was writing to all of God's people that were scattered about during that time. In 2 Peter chapter 1, notice this, verses 5 through 9, he reminds us, he says, besides this, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about activities that we're to be engaged in as God's people. Things that we're to cultivate. You know, by the Spirit of God, we've been given spiritual gifts. And Peter is not talking about creating some sort of spiritual gift in your life, but using what God has given you and cultivating that and building and adding upon it. And he says, when you do this, you won't be barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9, he says this, for he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You say, Brother Michael, we can get so forgetful that we can forget that we were saved from our sins, that we were delivered from the penalty of our sins? We can. It happens every day in the lives of God's people. We need to remember the things of God and cultivate the spiritual gifts that he has given us so that we will not forget. You know, forgetfulness is really the opposite of faith. We're called to be people of faith, and forgetfulness is the opposite of that. You say, well, what do you mean by this? I say, well, look around. Examine your own life and examine the lives of many around us. We live in a time today where an individual's independence and an individual doing what they want to do trumps everything else in life. That's not healthy for us as God's people. We're not our own, we're Christ's. We see that. Forgetfulness, and when we forget the things of God, it creates this spirit within us that says, we know better than God. We don't need the things of God. And the psalmist in Psalm 106 wrote about the children of Israel when Moses went up on the mount. Psalm 106 and verse 19, it talks about Israel during that time. How soon they forgot the blessings of God then. Moses was up on the mount. They were camped around the mountain. They saw all of the happenings of the mountain. It was evident that God was there. And here's what they did. They forgot. In verse 19, it says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image, and they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. He elaborates, they forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Very quickly, you see that they turned away from God. And this was pride. This was the flesh. Moses went up in the mountain. He was there for a period of time. And what did they do? They forgot the things of God to the point where they made a cow. They made a bovine. They made an image of an ox and worshiped that. We can get off track really quick as God's people. And what does it say about them? They forgot God, their Savior. We need to be careful of that. Where does forgetfulness come from in our lives? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 8 gives us some insight into where it comes from. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Again, by the pen of Moses, we have this warning. Beware, verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. Again, a reminder to Israel. Verse 12, it says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Where does forgetfulness come from? Well, Moses warns Israel here that we have a propensity to forget the things of God when we have plenty. They remember, God blessed them with this land. They were blessed to live in houses they didn't build. They had vineyards that they didn't plant. They had all of this stuff that God gave them in the land of promise. And he warns them, and he says, when you're full, when your flocks are multiplying, when you're in these houses that you've built, these goodly houses, be careful not to forget, and your heart be lifted up. I say, see the United States of America in 2025. We've been blessed, and even the poorest of us in this nation live better. I've said it a number of times, and I'll keep saying, live better than the vast majority of the people in the rest of this world, the poorest of us. You had something to eat this morning, you're better off than many other people in this world. You had a roof over your head, and you've been blessed. But in our flesh, we often want to take the credit for those things. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. And that was the warning to Israel of old. To just summarize it, pride. Our prideful nature, our prideful flesh causes us to forget the things of God. Lord, deliver us from our hearts being lifted up and forgetting the Lord. And he says here, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water from out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do the good at thy latter end. Again, pride comes up, he says in verse 15, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. I am thankful for the material blessings that God gives us. And prosperity in and of itself is not wrong. Having money is not evil. But forgetting who's the giver of the blessings is wrong. And that's one of the dangers of prosperity. Lord, save us from that spirit of, look where I've gotten myself. You know, as the Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. In the flesh, we like to say, well, I did it my way. And what we've done is forgotten that God is the one that's blessed us. He's the one that's provided for us. You know, what you have today is because of the blessing of God. It's not because of your abilities. It's not because of your inherent talents. If you have abilities and talents, it's because God blessed you. You know, you're here. Your heart's beating. It's because God blesses it. You know, we're breathing today because God hadn't turned off the big air conditioner, whatever that is. We're here by His grace. And we need to be careful doctrinally as well. In pride, we can say, I've got myself here. I've gotten myself right with God. I've saved myself. Look at me. Lord, save us from that spirit, because when we're in that spirit, we've forgotten God. You know, we have to be careful. Prosperity without praise can lead to us forgetting God. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me and blessing me to be able to provide for my family. When we forget to praise God with the prosperity that we have, we become as Israel of old. In the midst of our successes, when we neglect giving God the credit for our successes, we're forgetting what He has done for us. In the creature comforts that we have in life, when we fail to confess, well, what I have is because God has been merciful to me, we take Him for granted and we get into a bad place and we forget. It's kind of cyclical, really. When we forget about God, we become unthankful and we become self-absorbed, and we have to be careful about that. And that's what Moses was saying here to Israel of old. You remember, that's the Lord that gave you power to get wealth. That's the Lord that, for His glory's sake, to establish His covenant with you, and what He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why you have what you have today. Let us not forget. It's happened since the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they forgot God. They forgot it was God who blessed them. You know, as the Lord's people, we need to not forget. But let's go to the positive side now. The wonderful blessing is God in His grace, God in His mercy, He blesses us with remembrances. He blesses us with memorials as reminders of what He has done for us. You know, there's a lot of scriptures that warn us about forgetting, but I'm thankful for scriptures that encourage us to remember as well. 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the young minister Timothy, who had forgotten that it was God who had delivered him in his life. He had forgotten that it was God that blessed him with an understanding of spiritual things as a young man. Timothy had forgotten that it was God that blessed him with a godly mother and grandmother that taught him the things concerning Jesus Christ. He forgot, but God, I'm thankful, blessed and inspired the Apostle Paul to write to Timothy and write to us as well. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul would say, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. We're coming into the season where we recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of debate about the Easter time, and a lot of people get kind of salty about this time of year, but I think it's a very positive thing when something reminds us and we stay focused on the risen Savior that we serve. And Paul gives this reminder here to Timothy, who was discouraged, who was fearful because of persecution. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That strengthened and that encouraged Timothy. Remembrance strengthens our faith, does it not? As we remember the things of God, it encourages us. It motivates us. It gets us back on track. In the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, the church at Sardis, they had forgotten the things of God, and they were suffering the judgment of God because of their forgetfulness. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, John would say, remember, by speaking the words of the Lord, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. Remember. Tells the church at Sardis, remember. Remember those things, how you were received and heard. Hold fast to those things. To Timothy, he says, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to his gospel. Remember. Remember, child of God, what the Lord has done for you. Remember, child of God, the one who has delivered you and the one who is the Lord and the ruler of your life, whether you acknowledge it or not. Remember. What does it mean to remember? What is a memorial for? Well, memorials, there's a few things. There's a lot of things that memorials about. But when I think about memorials, I think about commemorations, celebrations, and contemplations. And God gives us those memorials. As God's people, he gives us memorials of his grace for commemoration. Going back to Joshua chapter 4, this monument was put there to commemorate God's deliverance to his people. My friends, I want you to understand that the memorials that we have today, the blessing, even the material blessings that we have, they should be a testimony to the goodness and the mercy of God. You know, I always think about the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, who was inspired by God to write some two-thirds of the New Testament and to go by the Spirit of God and establish all of these churches in the New Testament and the mighty wonders that he performed by the grace of God. He would ultimately say that I am what I am by the grace of God. You have a roof over your head. Thank God you have that roof over your head because God blessed you with it. You had food this morning. You had enough help to get up and come to this place and sit. You have a right mind to understand the things of God. It's by the grace of God. He gives us memorials for commemoration and celebration as well. I'm thankful that God has not just given us his word for just mere academic pursuits in our lives. I enjoy reading and studying the word of God, and I enjoy, by the grace of God, being able to make more sense of God's word, but it's not merely shouldn't be merely an academic pursuit for us. It should be something that causes us to celebrate and draw nearer unto God. We don't study and memorize the Word of God to pass some quiz, but it's for us to celebrate the things of God, consider the things of God, remember the things of God. And I want to say this, worship is a memorial to God. When we come to this place and sing praises unto God and lift up our voices in song and bring these prayer requests and pray unto God and sit under the preached word of God, it should be a commemoration, but I hope it's a celebration as well. Doesn't mean that we're just getting all out of control. But I hope as we hear the Word of God, it encourages us and it stirs up our heart and it puts a song in our mouth and encourages us along the way. The memorial worship. Contemplation. The Word of God teaches us in different places to meditate upon God's Word. We think about meditation, we think of something heady. And you say, well, Brother Michael, I'm not really a deep thinker. I'm not really grounded in the deeper things of God's Word. That's not what it's about. Meditation means just contemplating and thinking upon the goodness and the mercies of God that He has given you in your life. So hopefully food for thought comes from this pulpit as you come together and worship, that things that you can take and put in your heart and your mind for the week to come and meditate upon and ruminate upon and think about how God has been good to you. Biblical meditation is not like the New Age meditation. New Age meditation says clear your mind and empty your mind of all things. That's not healthy. A lot of the problems we have is because folks do empty their minds. But biblical meditation is filling your minds with the things of God. And David would say in the 119th Psalm, verse 97, he says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. As I said before, there's a lot of useless things rattling around in my brain. What we ought to do as God's people is try to fill our brains with things that are edifying, things that are pleasing to God, things that to remind us of the goodness and the mercies of God and how I ought to live as a debtor of grace as His child. He says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Contemplating the Word of God, you know, we fill our minds and our hearts with the things of God because there's always going to be some influence that's trying to pull us away from God, to try to distract us. We live in the most distractible times ever. You know, you just think about this. I'm guilty of it as well, but how many times do we just allow ourselves to be distracted with the things of this world? You know, you can't go have a meal with anybody without people picking up their phones and having their phones in front of them. It's a distraction, and we should labor to not be distracted by the things of this world. Work more on meditating and filling our minds with the things of God. David says in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, and here's the reality. We are going to devote our time and our attention to those things that we love the most. And as God's people, we should show in our time and in our thoughts and in our meditations that our love is for Him. God gives us helps to remember, though. What are some helps to remember just very quickly? He gives us memorials. He gave memorials in the Old Testament time. We've talked about these stones in Joshua chapter 4. Previously in the book of Exodus, there was a time when pillars were erected as a memorial unto the mercies of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, the children of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 7, they were not, they had forgotten God, just to be blunt, in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And now you have the prophet judge, Samuel comes along and calls the people out on their behavior, and they're going to fight the Philistines. And Samuel gets them pointed in the right direction by God's grace, and he raises up, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, he took a stone, and it says he set it between Mizpah and Shin, and he said he called the name of the place Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord delivered Israel from the hand of the Philistines, and he raises up this memorial. The word Ebenezer literally means a stone of help. It was a memorial then. But we have memorials as well that I've briefly alluded to this morning, and I want you to see these things as memorials to remind us of the things of God and hopefully prevent us from forgetting what God has done for us. The time of communion, you know, the communion that we're going to have here in a couple of months is a memorial, is it not? And I encourage you, Thursday night before our annual meeting, 7 p.m., you're a member of this church. Go ahead and write on your calendar and plan now to come to the communion service, because it's one of the commandments. It's one of the two commandments that the Lord gives us as His people, to be baptized and to observe communion. And the communion service is to be done in remembrance of Him. It's a remembrance. It's a memorial. What a blessing. And I am so thankful. Every communion service that we've had here, it's been a spectacular blessing and reminder to me. You know, my preaching's hit and miss a lot of times. And, you know, some days I may do better than others. You might forget what I say here. But that communion service is a tangible reminder of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Shedding his blood for our sins. Shedding for the remission of our sins. His body being broken for us. It's a reminder that he gives us. You know, the institution of baptism. You get baptized. You love the Lord. You desire to serve the Lord. You should be baptized. It's a memorial. I'm thankful for all the baptisms that I have been witness to, because every one of them is a reminder. They are a public profession that Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave for my sins. It's a memorial. You know, Worship is a memorial. We need to come here as much as we are able to, because we need a reminder. You know, I hope that this is almost a year of me serving as pastor. I hope that you've seen some patterns in my preaching. You might say, well, Brother Michael repeats himself a lot on certain things. Well, yes, I do, because we need a reminder. I hope that I'm not bringing some new thing to you. Be concerned if I ever stand up here and say, I've got something new I want to share for you that nobody's ever shared with you before. Something has gone haywire upstairs. But memorials. Yeah, some of y'all might be thinking that now. But worship. Worship is a memorial and a reminder. We sing these hymns that we sing. We sing hymns over and over because they are a reminder. These songs that we sing help refocus our hearts and our minds upon the Lord. What a blessing. We need reminders. In John chapter 14, Jesus gives his disciples reminders. Here were the people that were the closest to Jesus. And how often did they forget? I don't think they had a full understanding of who Jesus was even then. They called him Master and Lord. I think they meant well, but they didn't have a full understanding of Jesus at this time. But then they forgot what he taught them directly. So can you imagine if you had firsthand words from Jesus himself as he walked on this earth and you forgot, how much more so do we need reminders? But he would say in verses 25 and 26, he says, these things that I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom your Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. His Spirit is a reminder and a memorial in our lives. Now I'll go back to the time of Joshua. There was a reminder, there was a memorial there in Gilgal, these 12 stones, that was a visible reminder, but we also noted that Joshua put a memorial in the midst of the Jordan River, so when the waters came back, you couldn't see it. So we have visible reminders, but I want to tell you, my friends, as a child of God, we have a memorial within us that speaks to our hearts and speaks to our minds, that should be a constant reminder of the one who has delivered us. The Spirit of God, and I love this. He was speaking to those that were there with him. He says, I've spoken these things with you, to you. He's going to be gone soon, but he talks about this Comforter, he says, which is the Holy Ghost, and it says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. My friends, we've got the Spirit of God. If we did not have the Spirit of God, the Bible teaches us, we did not desire the things of God. We would not be able to discern the things of God, but we all have a memorial within as God's children. Something we did not cultivate, something that we did not do in and of ourselves, it comes through regeneration. We remember God because the Spirit of God dwells within us. We need to remember. And I think it's good for us as well. We think about the memorials that God has given us in his word, given us in the institution of the church, the Spirit of God that dwells within us. I think it's healthy for us as God's people to live our lives and be intentional about being memorials to those that are seeking the things of God, to our children and our grandchildren. Remember in Joshua chapter 4, this was to be a reminder to their sons and to their sons' sons. When the children would come ask about it, it was a reminder. I think it's healthy for us to set up godly, biblical memorials as we live our lives as well. So what are you doing in your life to commemorate the things of God to, you know, for your children and your grandchildren to have some understanding? Now understand, we cannot born again our own children. We cannot regenerate them. But we can give waypoints and memorials and the things that we do that would be a reminder to them when the Lord does work in their hearts. It's like coming to church. I'm here today by the grace of God, but I'm thankful that I had grandparents that were faithful to take me to church when I didn't want to go. When it wasn't really my favorite thing that I wanted to do on a Sunday morning. But it was a memorial. When the Lord worked on me, I knew where the truth was and I knew where to go. We can create those memorials. Don't ever take for granted that. We have our memorials. And I'll stop here. John chapter 17, what's referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer. You talk about a memorial. Jesus Christ our Lord, He is the memorial, is He not? Now these stones that were set up in Joshua chapter 4, they were a great reminder that they stood there for a long time, a reminder of God's mercy, a reminder of God's deliverance. But I want you to understand, those stones pointed to the stone, the rock, Jesus Christ. I love what Jesus, and we won't read the whole thing, but John chapter 17 is what Jesus' high priestly prayer is. Jesus praying unto God the Father, and there's so much in there that speaks about this blessing that we have from God and these reminders. He lifted up, it says in verse 1, He lifted up His eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. This, He was coming up soon upon the time when He was going to lay down His life for His people. But I highlighted some of these verses here in this chapter. Like verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. We have an understanding of spiritual things. We know God because He knew us before the world was. And in this prayer, He reminds us, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. If you love the Lord, you understand that Jesus Christ is the true and living God. You know, that's because of the testimony that He has put within you through the Spirit. Verse 6, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Now, it says, verse 7, now they have known all the things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou hast sent Me. This memorial and testimony that we have, it is not of ourselves. It is by the goodness and the grace of God. Verse 13, I think it is, and now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. This here says, what a wonderful encouragement. We're to remind ourselves of what the Lord has done for us. And when we remember the things of the Lord, it cultivates a joy and a fulfillment in our lives. He says in verse 16, He says, then they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. I'm thankful that we serve a God of all grace who gives grace sufficient for whatever the circumstances are in our lives. What a blessing that is. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be as one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Speaking of, you know, as the church went on, it wasn't just those Jews that were going to be delivered, that were going to be of God's children. The Gentiles were going to come along, and they were going to be blessed by the Spirit of God. He has an elect and a people out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. May we remember that. And then finally, verse 25, verse 26. O righteous Father, The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? We serve a great God. We know God because he knew us before the world was. I'm thankful he don't forget. I'm going to forget. There will be something that I forget this week about God. It'll probably be on more than one occasion. Something's going to happen, and my initial response is not going to be a God-honoring response. I may not articulate it, but in my mind and in my being, I'm going to panic about something. I'm going to worry about something. I'm going to grumble about something, and I'm going to forget. The good news is our God has not forgotten us. I may forget, but he has not. And that's really that high priestly prayer. That's the big thing. He hasn't forgotten us. He won't forget us. He's blessed us. He's the God over all and the God who knows all. What a great memorial we have. I pray that we would be a living testimony of the goodness and the mercy of God in our lives. What a wonderful God we serve. Will you hand me a songbook, please? If you've been blessed to see Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to take up your cross and follow after him. Let's turn to